welcome to another science episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And side note, I just like to add how I'm so used to doing this show with the sound effects now that when I record Click Nation podcast episodes like I did Tuesday night, I keep wanting to pause for the music to play in the background between each break. Not to remind myself, nope, we're doing this on, we do this on Skype and not Google Plus, so there are no sound effects. But so yes, welcome to episode 56 of the Comic Book Chronicles.
Wow, 56.
You get there in high numbers when you record every week.
Yep.
But to give props to the man doing the sound effects, let me introduce Mr. Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
And we also have joining us back this week at Roddy Cat.
Nice. Well, nice.
How's it going, everybody? Good to be back.
He of the at News Nerds Need Twitter informational news account.
It is I.
And he's not on the show just yet because he's trying to boot his computer up, but we'll shortly have Dirt, a.k.a. at PCN underscore Dirt. He of the popculturenetwork.com. And, of course, we are at theclicknation.com. Make sure to go and check out previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, and much more. And also the Click Nation podcast. Check that out on there. Follow the Twitter account at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google+. Just search for the Click Nation and join the community. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to theclicknation@gmail.com. So, like I said in the notes for this week's episode, a lot of news, and of course, news always likes to break on the Friday after we record on the previous Thursday.
It gives us a whole week to stew over it.
Yeah, it gives us a whole week to forget what almost forget what could have came up. So this week, this previous 7 days, aka a week, we had DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers announcing that Jesse Eisenberg and Jeremy Irons are cast to play Lex Luthor and Alfred in the Batman Superman, aka Man of Steel 2 sequel. That ominous music playing was for Dirk joining us.
Willkommen.
Can you hear us?
I drop out though. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. A water main ruptured, and there are like 6 giant trucks out there tearing up everything out in the street and in the grass. So if they hit some sort of cable, I might lose internet or power. Well, just that doesn't happen.
Or both.
The pop culture network bunker is under siege. Is that what you're trying to tell
us? You see, he's in his bunker.
Yeah.
Watching actually, on the video. Uh-oh.
I keep forgetting that's there because that's totally fake. that's like just glued to the wall.
I was going to say, it looks like you're at a bar. Like the brick background.
I am drinking.
Nice. Go.
So you joined us just in time for our.
That's how you stay news. Warm.
Mm-hmm.
You joined us just in time for the first news article where we were discussing Jesse Eisenberg and Henry Irons being cast.
Jeremy Irons.
Should I say Henry Irons?
Yeah.
Jeremy Irons cast Batman Superman.
Steel is in Batman Superman. That could very well happen.
You heard it here first on the Comic Book Chronicles. Misinformation
Central. That.
Yeah, seriously.
Would that be Shaq again?
One can only hope.
Yeah, really.
So are we outraged? Are we mad, upset, or wait and see?
I'm curious.
Yeah, that's basically.
I'm curious to see how this plays. I always liked Jeremy Irons. I still, to this day, I still hear his voice in The Lion King as Scar. So, I still hear it, when I think of, what Jeremy Irons sounds like, that's what I hear. So, he's definitely a quality actor. In terms of the casting of Eisenberg as Luthor, it's interesting. I'll give him that. I'll give him, props for coming up with an interesting casting.
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg's playing Lex Luthor.
It kind of
fits.
It does kind of fit.
So...
Now I still wonder why they don't just grab the dude that played him on what's one called Rosenbaum from
Michael Rosenbaum.
Smallville? Yeah, from Smallville.
I think there was an article a while back mentioning why he didn't or wouldn't or something like that.
He just doesn't want to do it?
Well, no, I don't think it was that. I think that was why he wasn't. Maybe it's something about why he wasn't. I would have to pull that up again because I know I remember seeing that like a couple of weeks ago before this came out. So,
all right.
Okay. I guess news that just broke today, at least sometime today, Paul Bettany, the British actor known to comic book fans for voicing Tony Stark's Jarvis robot, is supposedly going to be playing Vision in Avengers Age of Ultron.
No kidding!
The Daily Mail reports.
Huh.
So, that's what I get for being away from Twitter and my computer all day, huh?
I literally just saw that scroll by like 2 minutes ago.
All right.
So, of course, this is coming from the Daily Mail.
Yeah, grain of salt.
You know, that is a established newspaper. But still need an official Marvel announcement. So take that for what you will. Next news article. Let's see. So with DC moving their operations from New York to California, there's been a lot of rumor about who would be making the move out west. Of course, some talent and creators aren't going to be making the move. One of which is the Batman group editor, Mike Marks. He decided not to go out west, but he has decided to go back to Marvel. And he'll be the executive editor, whatever that is.
You got me.
He used to edit the X-Men books, I heard.
Yeah, he's definitely an old Marvel hand, so they're welcoming him back into the fold.
And it's curious, but it's kind of interesting since the Batman family is obviously probably the most successful titles over at DC, so them losing him, could be be kind of curious to see how the Batman family of books, how this affects them. But a good move for Marvel. And of course, Steve Wacker left the Spider-Man titles to go work in Marvel Animation, and Marvel announced that Nick Lowe, the X-Men group editor, would be the new Spider-Man family title editor. So now the question is, who will take over the X-Men books as the game of musical chairs continues?
They'll be fine. X-Men can take care of themselves. A couple of deaths here and there, they'll be fine.
This is how it works.
Jeff John.
Yeah.
So on the DC All Access YouTube weekly, I believe it's weekly, show. They teased this week a big announcement from Dan DiDio and Geoff Johns. And Geoff Johns. And the announcement was that Geoff Johns and John Romita Jr. would be the new creative team on Superman this summer.
I'm interested to see J.R. Jr.'s take on this. You know, yeah. I know some other people aren't the biggest fans, but, you know, I know he's definitely had some weaker outings, you know, in recent years. I hope that maybe this will, like, kind of reinvigorate his style and maybe, kind of reintroduce him to a new generation.
And with both names on that book, it'll sell something. So
true enough.
It's funny after the announcement was made, I kind of was sitting there thinking, and I was like, you know, there's no reason that the titles Superman, Batman, and Justice League aren't the three biggest sellers for DC. And two of the three are, because Batman and Justice League, I'm assuming, sell a whole boatload. I know Batman does.
Right.
Justice League, right. I haven't really kept up with how their sales numbers are. But you figure Superman should be that net in the top three.
You would think, but I mean,
but here's the thing. It hasn't. It hasn't for a long time.
Yeah. And so, this move should help make it put it in the big three.
Yeah. I agree.
Was there an article about Geoff Johns only being limited to two books now, on a side note?
I think that was part of the announcement.
Yeah.
That they were cutting his workload back. And just, you know, forcing him basically to just work on two books.
Was he doing that many books? I mean, I'm not familiar.
I know
he was doing Lantern. He was doing, Aquaman, Justice League.
Right.
And I guess Forever Evil had started. Supposedly Karen, whoever, the head over DC, whatever her name is.
Oh, okay.
Right. Supposedly she's Karen, right. Yeah, supposedly she was the one that said that, you know, told him that he needs to cut his commitments back to two books.
Right.
I wonder if you're going to see that a little bit more or is it just him and that?
Well, I think it's because Johns has so many more, responsibilities.
Yeah.
You know, he's got executive type responsibilities or supervisor creative control type responsibilities, I think, now. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if he has the time to really, you know, sit down and write.
But yeah, so
hit deadlines. That's the important part.
Oh yeah, I'm saying that instead of launching Superman Unchained, they should have just gave Scott Snyder and Jim Lee the Superman book.
Yes.
Especially since the whole Superman Unchained is going to run, what, 9 issues or whatever, and then they're going to end the book.
Well, but, you know, it makes it look more like just a limited series and let that be that. You know what I mean? It's like a standalone thing that they can publish.
Yeah, but they could have given it to them and they could have ran with it for their 9, however many issues, and then let Johns and Johns and Romita, JR take over.
All right.
So the Super Bowl was past Sunday. The game wasn't competitive, but...
But those puppies were so cute. Oh, wait.
Ha.
Yeah.
We did have a bunch of commercials and trailers for movies coming out in 2014.
Which is the best part of the Super Bowl.
Yep. So we had Captain America, The Winter Soldier.
Which is the best one.
I agree.
Best one.
Transformers 4, Age of Extinction.
Ooh. Actually, I know some people that are hyped about that one, particularly if you see the picture of Prime riding Grimlock.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Which is just weird, but anyway.
True.
You know, to say that out loud without having seen that's just weird.
And Amazing Spider-Man 2.
That one was probably the most frustrating. That's tied. I mean, they were both the Transformers and Spidey 2 were just Amazing Spidey 2 were pretty frustrating to watch. I cannot get enough of the Cap trailer though.
Yeah. Now, well, I agree with you on that. But there was another Cap trailer that sounded like it was a little bit longer. I don't know. That was like
an international trailer. That. Yeah. Watch that one. That is
the one I saw.
I missed the short one. I don't know what I was looking at. I don't know if I was answering a phone call or something during the Super Bowl because I was so distracted from the stupid game that I missed the cap, the regular cap commercial. Mm-hmm. But I went online and I watched the full like 2 minute plus trailer, and it is awesome.
Yeah, agreed. So.
Yeah, watched it many of time.
Yes.
At least once a day.
I'm right there with Tim. I am right there.
So, yeah, only a couple of months, people.
Yes, I'm jazzed. Very jazzed.
let's see. So there's reports that Evangeline Lilly in talks to be cast in Ant-Man.
Of lost fame.
Yeah. I love how Marvel just keeps pulling in, you know, actors and actresses that are just, you know, top notch and, you know, pulling them in for these roles. It's just, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Now I guess the question is who is she going to be playing?
Right.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like who we would want it to be.
Right, they might be rewriting Marvel, you know, the adapting Marvel history for Marvel movie history.
As we welcome Dirt back,
maybe
you'll just be the on and off guest for tonight. Let's see, the next bit of news. The CW casts its Iris West in the Flash TV show. Miss Candace Patton.
And also...
with her fine self.
Mm-hmm.
And also, didn't they say something about Vibe was going to be in the show?
Oh, wait. Yeah. That's awful. Did they really say that?
Well, yeah, a guy was cast to play... it's not Paco Ramirez.
Or like the Vibe alter ego or the secret identity.
Yeah, the identity.
Oh, God.
I don't want to focus on Vibe so much as Iris West because I'm going to make it my goal to get her on an episode of Comic Book Chronicles.
That's my this and Melissa Milano, huh? Y'all take both of those.
Alyssa was Agent 70s.
That's right. He's trying to get her on, man.
And now I'll go after Candace, who will make it so.
That's right.
Actually, sometime during the show, I'm going to tweet her a link to this episode.
There you go.
The YouTube link. Let's see, more movie rumor casting. So I guess Fox has hinted at a female Dr. Doom for the Fantastic Four reboot.
I'm not sure how to react to that.
Anything's better than that Fantastic Four 90s movie, so we'll see how that goes. That's all I'm saying.
Did they say who the rumored lady is?
No, I think they had some runners, but... and I can't remember. I had to go back and look at that article, but I don't think there was anybody serious.
Okay. And last but not least, for aspiring comic book creators out there, there's a website and a podcast called Comics for Beginners.
Ooh.
And I am definitely checking this website out. Actually, I've got it up here. So the website is comicsforbeginners.com. They have a YouTube channel, or the guy that runs the site, I forget his name right now, but his YouTube channel, he gives tips on how to do like inking and sketching, and his podcast series, he gives the same type of informational tips for, doing basically the same things from the YouTube video. So definitely check that out.
Sounds good.
And I believe that's all the news we have.
Yeah, there was still a couple other, but that was from yesterday, a couple other rumors for Fantastic Four people, but...
I saw, which one called it? That girl from Shameless. being in the running for some part. Emmy
for
Rossum?
Sue Storm. Yeah, for Sue Storm, and then they got some British actor for Ben Grimm.
Really, they couldn't find a Jewish dude from New York?
Really? Well, excuse me, that was a rumor. I don't know if they're going with him or not. I know, just get Chiklis back.
Not Chiklis. Yeah. No offense. No offense, but no, he's not Ben Grimm. Ben Grimm should be a football player. You know, that's the whole point. He's a gridiron star, and he should not look like Michael Chiklis. No offense, Michael Chiklis.
Would you rather them get Channing Tatum?
I saw Channing Tatum's put on some weight, apparently. What was I going to say? You know, they just need to find someone who's a legitimate football type. You know, like he's got a, you know, he could be a legitimate football star. And let him be Ben Grimm, but he's got to be, you know, kind of got a New York attitude with, you know, possible Jewish heritage.
Yeah. Or now that I think about it, they get The Rock. Like, they're like the
and it's totally, yeah, totally go over. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I was going to say, we didn't even mention that. Mm-hmm. How that was like like people took that Twitter rumor and ran with it.
That would just be our weekly, who is The Rock playing this week?
Basically.
You know, because he's right. You know, he's one of the few that can pull off the build. So, you know, they put him in.
I mean, he can play off whatever role you want him to be as big, tough guy.
Pretty much.
All right. Time to review some books for this week. I shall open the floor to anyone who'd like to begin.
I will start with The Punisher number one. Out this week from Marvel Comics. So the creative team on this is a familiar creative team to people who've been listening to the show and know that I became a fan of The Activity by Nathan Edmondson and Mitch Gerard as published by Image Comics. And this is basically The Punisher in The Activity. It's kind of cool. It's, you know, and if you read the very end of the book, there's notes from Edmondson and Gerard's, and, you know, it's kind of interesting to get their take on what they think Frank Castle should be like and how they plan to plot and plan out this series. So just, you know, as a quick non-spoilerish type review, Frank has been relocated. And they don't really say why, I think, but he's basically gone West Coast. And, you know, some shenanigans ensue, you know, kind of typical Punisher stuff. But, you know, there's some Punisher versus drug dealer stuff going on. But, you know, there's definitely a couple of twists to the old Punisher versus drug dealer story. So, you know, I think it's definitely worth a look. I'm curious to see what issue number two brings. So that's what I think of that. I thought it was a pretty good start.
I liked the change of venue from New York to L.A. I think it's nice to get some Marvel characters out of New York City since they all seem to fester in New York. And I admit, when I first saw the cover, I thought he was going to be in Miami. Mm. But it's actually Los Angeles, and I think it works well for him. And one of the things that kind of struck me is that they seem to be playing it with more of a kind of that I don't know if you remember movies like Heat.
Sure.
Or maybe some of the Tarantino kind of underbelly of Los Angeles type stuff where I kind of felt like that was thing. Yeah where I felt like that was the world that he was in, that seedy West Coast underbelly, which has a different feel to it, you know, that kind of
yeah, sure. They threw an essay in there.
Yeah, with the sunset coming up over the the rain slick streets and everything. I just thought it was a nice change of pace for him, and I think it worked well.
I enjoyed how it seemed, at least from the first issue of The Punisher and the two or three issues of Black Widow, that at least it seemed like The Punisher is more of a fun book. Even with all the violence in it.
Right.
It seemed like, you know, Black Widow, it seems a little more serious. So I kind of like the humor thrown in in here. And I enjoyed Mitch Gerard's art as well.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Good first issue.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, what's next?
So I'll get this one out of the way. Avengers AI, number 9.
Ooh.
It was a pretty good read. That's still.
I'm like, who else read it?
So yeah, so as you can see from the cover, we have some uncanny Avengers along in the mix, who one of which may should not be around, but that's neither here nor there at this point. But
it's in the future, so that means she's already back.
Yeah, really. So Bill's still. Hank Pym's Avengers are still in the diamond. They found Victor Mancha. They found some allies. The only thing you have, only other thing you need to know about this book is the Avengers form Voltron.
Ah!
That's it.
What? Hold on. Crap, I'm going to have to read this now.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Same here. If you say something like that, I'm going to have to read this.
And it's funny because I actually do need to read it because I actually read the last issue hoping I would enjoy it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't really happen.
Mm-hmm.
But
I may or may not be overselling it, but I'm just, but that when it got to that point, it was quite amusing.
So that's Avengers AI number 9. I guess I'll pick one next. I'm gonna pick All New Invaders number 2.
Cool.
Okay.
I'm picking it because I did not really enjoy it as much as I was hoping I would.
I can understand that. This definitely has issue, ups and downs.
Issue number 1. Okay, so I know who James Robinson is. I haven't really, if at all, read any of his previous work. So this is like my first time jumping into, you know, James Robinson writing.
I was like, good for me. He's got a couple coming.
Yeah. At least another one of it. Well, two of his projects I'm definitely going to try. You know, I'm not the biggest Fantastic Four fan.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wasn't crazy about his portrayal of Captain America. He sounded, his voice was off to me.
You don't think it might have been him catching up from his book?
Which book?
From his own book, from the Dimension Z stuff.
No, it didn't have anything to do with that. It was just like, yeah, I know Captain America is always like positive and whatnot, but it seemed like he was using words like chum and
right
friend like chum.
Yeah, see, now I'm gonna have to go back and look at that.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I was gonna say there's another instance of like him saying it's like he seemed too overly positive and happy.
Yeah.
Like giving orders, and the way he was wording the orders didn't sound like Captain America to me.
Right. Well, see, that's what was making me think about the Dimension C stuff. I was like, well, maybe this is kind of taking place kind of after that, and he's kind of unsure of it because it's kind of been. Not necessarily, well, sort of touched on in other books. I was thinking I just kind of took it as that, as opposed to much else. But it did kind of seem kind of weird the way he took the news, because when they briefed him on what was going on, he should have already known. He kind of took that he took that a little better than you think he would have in other times.
Right. I'm actually glad he did take that well, because it's not like Captain America has to be informed on every single
right
piece of information. And I understand the whole explanation story by Jim Hammond. I understand why they had to do it. A lot of it was, you know, pointing out stuff that older readers already know. But you know, if you're new to the book, of course, you don't know how all these relationships work. Right. But it seemed like it was too much. It went on too long. I'll say that.
Well, you know what's funny about this is that, you know, take it from a longtime Cap fan. Back when, you know, the Winter Soldier was introduced and, you know, Brubaker, you know, like knocked it out of the park, and Cap gives Bucky all his memories. He doesn't get this one.
Oh, and the way,
you know what I'm saying? Like, he used the Cosmic Cube. He says, remember everything. And he doesn't remember this stuff? That's the continuity geek in me jumping out and biting you, you know?
That's what retcons are for.
Age of Ultron. It screwed up everything.
Yeah.
And then the explanation for how Mariner and Bucky and Jim Hammond didn't remember, that was kind of lame, too.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of goes towards something that Marvel does with their continuity. They do what they call a rubber band continuity, where, you know, the space behind going in the past just kind of draws itself towards the present. And that's how they always kind of stay the same age. And I was reading something recently that said, according to Marvel's, you know, rubber band continuity, Captain America is a post 9/11. He wasn't there for it. He didn't see it happen.
Right, he was thawed afterwards.
So you kind of wonder, using that theory of the rubber band continuity, like what every so often when they say this and they pick a different date that things happen, like what else hasn't happened or what else has shifted, you know, because obviously all the stuff with like the Patriot, you know, Super Patriot, the Captain, all of that kind of stuff, that would have to have been shifted because obviously that would be a post 9/11 story. And that kind of changes the entire context of that whole storyline.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of in line with like, all right, well, the newer readers will grab onto this. The older readers will still go to the original stuff. And
we just have to reconcile it.
Yeah.
We just have to reconcile it somehow. You know, we just have to keep in our minds like, oh, well, this is the way the stories went. And this is how they want us to understand it and interpret it now.
Right. Or it is what it is to you when you come into it.
Okay. But that was my quick take on All New Invaders number 2.
All right. Let me throw something out there. Did you guys read Ms. Marvel number 1?
Yep.
I did.
Yeah.
What was that, Dirt?
I was not a fan.
No kidding. So, so why don't you leave? Because
I tried to, you know, ignore all of the hype and all of the, you know, everything that's been going on with the book and just sit down and read the book. And the first thing was the artwork just annoyed me. There was something about the style of artwork.
It's definitely quirky.
It was super over exaggerated at certain points, and then it tries to settle down and be understated at different points, and it didn't seem to flow well to me. There was just I don't know, especially towards the end where she starts dealing with the powers and everything, and it just looked like all the figures get elongated and everybody looks weird and their facial expressions, and it didn't feel necessarily like that was part of the story. It's just that the artist was drawing and they just got weird, you know, after a while. And my other big thing was it just felt like another, here's a quirky high school kid, she doesn't fit in. You know, you could say that she's a nerd, you could say that she's, you know, whatever this time they made her Muslim, but it really didn't have an impact. Like, who she was didn't really have an impact to me on what felt like what the core of the story was. The core of the story is just she's a fish out of water, teenage girl that doesn't fit in anywhere, and she's kind of quirky, and she's kind of different, and she's a little funny sometimes, and that's the book, you know. And to me, that's not... I don't want to read that, you know. I mean, I'm sure there are 15 and 16 year old girls that love this book. I'm sure there's 24 year old guys who love female empowerment, you know, whatever. But I mean, for me, just reading the book, I'm just like, ah, this is like a bad CW TV show. I'm gonna pass.
And we know how you despise those.
I hate CW TV shows. Hey, someone's phone is ringing.
It's not mine.
Not me.
I enjoyed Ms. Marvel. I do feel you on the art. It seems like, at least the issues of Runaways I did read, I liked Adrian Alfona's, hopefully I said his name right. I enjoyed the art better back then than his newer work, because I wasn't enjoying it on his Uncanny X-Force either.
Actually, well, yeah. And, well, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Everything, almost like the art and the dialogue pretty much matched pretty well to me. And I thought that pretty much most of the points that Dirt didn't like the book, I kind of enjoyed it for that, for the fact that she was kind of a fish out of water and kind of quirky. And I think that's kind of play into how she handles, you know, going how she handles things going forward. Yeah, the powers and going forward. And I kind of like the way that they kind of went through what she was going through. It was kind of weird, but the way she was going through when she was getting her powers. Dort Geekus was asking, I can't find it now. But basically, was asking was were they using a Terrigen Mist to explain how she got her powers, paraphrasing. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So I kind of
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
I did not even realize that. I should have put two and two together.
What I miss? What'd you say?
The whole little sequence, like right before the end of the book, where before she pops out, was it pretty much explaining what she was going through as she was gaining her powers or whatever. She was pretty much in the cocoon at that point, which we did not know until, you know, later. I guess spoiler alert. I don't know.
I understood that when I read it.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to handle it. Because you've not gotten to see that before now, you know, which it would have been really bad if they just put her in the cocoon and then the book just goes, you know, with whatever else. So.
Well, and also, you know, like I said, I'm sure there are people out there that enjoyed this book, you know, like I understand that there's a market for stuff like this, just like there's a market for Vampire Diaries, but it's not me.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be less CW, though. I mean, it seems like there's probably going to be – there may somewhere along the line be a little bit of weight, maybe I'm just projecting, I don't know, more than that coming along at some point, because she's going to be dealing with her, you know, new powers and everything else that's going on around her. So,
actually, it might be – best if they did go for that CW crowd, because there is a crowd out there,
right? Who are not the regular crowd of readers. So why not try to tap into that? I don't know. I honestly didn't get the CW vibe, but I can see it. You know, now that someone mentions it, I just enjoyed the book. I thought it was a good read.
I will say that Dork Geek has just reminded me of something. He was asking. If they were implying that the Terrigen Mist mutated her, which I'm assuming that's correct because that's how she gets her powers.
Right, right.
But that also brought up my question in my head. If she has the inhuman DNA in her blood, shouldn't the other members of her family show signs also, like her brother?
Not necessarily. We'll see. If they go with the, hey, the things skip a generation.
Right, or it has to be a certain sequence that you have, you know, something like that.
Right, because just because she has it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody around her will.
Right, well, like, my mom is left-handed, but my aunt isn't.
Right.
You know, so it's just one of those things that some people are more screwed up than others, and some people are inhumans, and some people aren't.
I need to, I guess I should pay more close attention in science class.
You got no class.
let's see. Why don't you pick one, Dirt?
Oh, do I have to?
No.
how about Loki? No, I didn't read it.
I didn't get a chance to read that yet.
I'm not going to.
I'm going to. I'm not sure exactly if I'll enjoy it, but hey.
It's yeah, same here.
Boy, what did I read? Oh, you know what? Here, wait, hold on. Where'd it go? I just had it here. I was going to put it on the screen, and then it disappeared. Okay, Suicide Risk. I'm going to jump to the probably the one Boom book we'll cover this week.
Okay.
Before you start, I would like to say every time you review it, it makes me want to read it.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, like, the book is constantly adding, like, new information, and every time it adds new information, the story gets bigger. And you went from drug dealers on the street giving people superpowers to somehow this guy might be a reincarnated god to maybe there's some kind of time travel. His daughter is opening dimensions to other realities. And in this book, it goes back to the very first issue. And the two guys that, or the two people, I guess I should say, that we see who are dealing the quote unquote drug, it turns out it's not a drug. They have some sort of futuristic device. And this device, when it, you know, taps you, it looked like they were giving him an injection. But what it really is it's like this, like future, I don't know if it's like a hypo spray or what the deal is, but it's this device that unlocks a latent power within you. And all of the people who have this power are some sort of gods or aliens or people from the future or something. There's something about them. You don't know exactly what they are or where they're from, but they've somehow come to Earth and their powers are dormant. They've lost their memories and they're regular people. And these two junkies on the street find this device and start charging people money to unlock their power, but it only works obviously on specific people who you know, are one of these, you know, dormant types. And so in this issue, you not only find out that, but the future space police or parallel universe police or angels from heaven or whatever these things are, they finally show up and they want the device back, and they're trying to track these people down and figure out how they got it and how they figured out it works and who all they've used it on. And so suddenly the story takes this completely out of left field turn and becomes something so different than what it was before. And it just amazes me. You know, I'm trying to figure out how many layers, how complex the story really is, how many things that he's, you know, what else can he do to go back and just kind of, because it's not a retcon, you know, you're only 10 issues in. So he's obviously laid this out. He's got that story in his head. You know, the story could have stopped by now and it would have been something completely different. But as he goes and he's, you know, revealing these other parts of the story, it just completely changes and becomes something so much bigger and different. And there were hints of it going all the way along. Like, as you go back, once you hear this, you can go back to like issue 6 or issue 4 with some of the stuff that people said that didn't make sense at the time, but now it does make sense. And so I just love when stories do that. So I've really enjoyed Suicide Risk, and it's quickly becoming one of those books that I turn to first every week.
I wonder if I just jumped right into it like I did 2 and Morning Glories, if I'd enjoy it.
Well, it's only 10 issues in. So, I mean, go back to the beginning. It's only going to take you an afternoon to, you know, get caught up.
Okay. Oh, and someone watching this on Google Plus, Thomas Coonery, mentions that it's G.I. Joe's 50th birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Yo, Joe.
Yo, Joe, and happy birthday.
And there was a Joe book out this week.
I was about to say, so let's get into that, which had nothing to do with the anniversary. So, yeah. So, basically, they're doing the secret history of Cobra Commander. They have a new recruit, a new PR person that they've, let's say, drafted by the name of Siren. And she's kind of going around with the Baroness, shaking people down or doing something. I'm not sure what exactly they're doing at the moment. But, oh, excuse me. Well, I take that back. They're spreading Cobra's word across the world. They're basically, Cobra has a front-facing side to what the world actually sees, and this benevolence and whatnot. But they are going around to the criminal element and letting them know that, hey, we're here, and you know, this is what's going. I mean, not this is all going. Just telling them the history, because it's weird. Because there's basically like short stories that are within the last couple of books that the person keeps telling, that kind of are interspersed with what's going on outside of the book. So it's a kind of interesting to see where they're going to get to, and this person that they've recruited, they have something on, so they're going to be there until they're not, sounds like. But it's been a good read so far. This has been a kind of a it's just kind of a weird, like, it just kind of goes into, well, let me tell you this story real quick, and then it just pops back out and, you know, finishes the story and then pops back into another one. And they have a different art style for the little short stories that they say within the book. Right. And Baroness is still ruthless as hell, and I love her. So.
Have you been reading the Joe books for years, or just with this new ongoing from IDW?
Yeah, just with the ongoing. Like, I was there with the Marvel books in the past. I haven't caught on. I hadn't read the other one when he came back, so I just kind of restarted with this one. And I think Special Missions, which I'm still saying I'm have to get back into.
I'm just kind of curious how much of, you know, past Joe stuff this was tying into it, and how much was, you know, new stuff that they're just doing for the first time, you know, in this series.
Right. So they're kind of streaming off slightly. Like, pretty much the Joes are there. Yeah, there are some small elements that you will see, but they've kind of updated. They've, as much as I hate to say this, they've kind of drawn a little on the movie version in past issues. But they don't lean too heavily on it. But you can pretty much say the history, like, they're not trying to ruin the history or anything. They're kind of touching on stuff. Like, the people you expect to be like they're supposed to be like, they kind of are. Except for, like, the there was an issue in the past where Zartan's brother and sister came in, but they kind of played them slightly like the Crimson Twins. So you have both. Yeah, and it was then. But outside of stuff like that, they still kind of play like the Joes, and you still have the little. I like the way they're playing some things, like, you know that Duke's been with CoverGirl. Duke and CoverGirl kind of has some kind of relationship. Like, none of the Joes appear in this issue or the last one, but apparently next issue they might, since they're going. And Cobra Commander doesn't either, considering it's his history. So go figure on that. But but you notice, you can see little ties to some history stuff, but it's real loose.
Okay. What else we got this week? Let's see.
Is it my turn?
Sure. If you got something you want to bring up.
All right. Let me look at my list. And I will throw out Wolverine number one. My gut says, do we have to?
No, when you say throw it out.
Yeah. Well, I throw it out there for everyone to pick at, really, because I'm not 100% sure I'm on board with the new direction of the character, and it's another version of break the character down and then slowly build them back up. You know, it's a familiar arc. It's just a different way of doing it with Wolverine. This has happened in the past where, you know, spoiler alert, they have stripped Wolverine of his healing factor. This is not the first time this has happened. This might be the first time that they're trying to compensate with him wearing a suit of freaking armor. They might as well give him repulsor rays.
You want to know something I didn't notice? I thought he was still popping his claws out, but those are actually from a gauntlet on his wrist.
Yeah, he's got external claws.
Wait, those are external claws? Or I thought they were just like braces so that, like, I don't think they went into it so much, unless I missed it.
They didn't explain it. I've listened to enough Ryan Statement podcasts now where they say it's gauntlets.
Yeah, and that's kind of popped up elsewhere.
No, oh, has it? So, because what I was going to say is, because if you think about it, right, it makes some sense in that if he doesn't have a healing factor anymore, the adamantium claws and you know, like, constantly popping in and out, you know, the wounds aren't closing, and they're, you know, like, it's probably he probably can't brace his, you know, the claws against his body as well without the healing factor, so that when he's cutting through stuff that does give resistance, it might, like, you know, kind of snap back. I don't know. Forgive me for being logical, right?
But I'm a, something else that brings up is I'm pretty sure those gauntlets aren't made out of adamantium. So how's he able to slice and dice so much stuff?
That's my point. I just think that they're, you know, they're meant to like be an enhancement and a safeguard at the same time for his adamantium claw still.
And probably who he's going against are probably not going to be. The adamantium wasn't going to be a concern because he's just cutting through people, regular people, let's say, if that's the case. Let's talk about the guns thing, shall we?
Well,
I was just going to ask a question real quick. If he doesn't have a healing factor, then how does his body compensate with the fact that his bones are coated in adamantium and they can't get red blood cells out of the marrow?
Dr. Geekers just brought that up also.
Yeah, because I think there have been stories where like he would be like, you know, like kind of have like metal poisoning without his healing factor. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And he'd also the adamantium is supposed to weigh like how many hundred pounds?
Right.
You shouldn't be able to walk.
Well, that's what the exoskeleton is for. That's what the armor is for. I'm telling you, it's not armor.
The adamantium poisoning, don't pay. You could write that off as his body has adjusted to having the adamantium in his body so much that it knows how to compensate.
Yeah, but that's when he had a healing factor.
I just wrote it for Marvel.
Yeah.
And the armor, it has some sort of factor that's helping him compensate with the lack of a healing factor.
You all get no prizes. But
give me my prize.
So yeah, I mean, with the guns thing, we were going to talk about that. That pretty much ends the book. Spoiler alert. So I don't know how to, you know, like I said, I'm not so sure. I'm a fan of where this is going. We all know he can use guns. Come on now. The guy's been a soldier, special forces operative. We all read those Jim Lee issues where he was a Weapon X or Team X operative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Apparently the healing factor made him an expert marksman, and now that he lost it, he doesn't know how to shoot a gun.
Yeah. It was kind of weird seeing that when I was reading Avengers Assemble last week or week before last, whenever it was. It was like, why does he have a wall full of guns on this thing? But here's the thing. He's trained as a ninja. Why does he not have a sword?
Because he's packing three small ones in each forearm.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, sure. If he's a nunchuck, he could have a sword. Or he could have a bow staff.
Yeah.
Or he could have nunchucks.
Mm-hmm.
Or he could have Raphael's size. I mean, you know.
Shurikens. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, it's so he's a trained ninja. But then you know, think of all the other things he's trained in. Like I was just mentioning, he's a Team X operative, so he's gonna have guns, he's gonna have knives, grenades. You know, he's gonna have it all.
So syphilis, you know.
So
that'll be the next storyline.
Believes that the guns are red herring, and that Wolverine is undercover. Nice theory.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
Okay, let me find something that hasn't been discussed. I did review Wolverine number one, which you can read on theclicknation.com and popculturenetwork.com.
Woohoo!
And I should have a Miss Marvel review out this weekend also. Let's see, what can I talk about? Okay, let's get into DC, my one DC book for the week.
Do we
Forever,
have...
Forever Evil number 5.
Yep, I read it too. Anybody else?
I liked it.
It was fine.
It was okay. You know, there was that one scene where I was like, hey, Batman, they're kind of in charge, you know? I kind of like that. And Sinestro going to, you know, handing out the beatdown was pretty cool, too.
That was my favorite part, the Sinestro stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then a member of the crime syndicate has fallen.
Yes. I'm not sure I'm crazy about Sinestro with the cape little thing, obviously, but
it's got to be dramatic. I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't watch The Incredibles.
Capes are bad.
Yeah.
David Finch's art isn't what it used to be.
I think it's rushed.
Yeah.
I think it's rushed.
And,
you know, this book is coming out as slow as molasses anyway, so
we have
he's rushing along as best as he can.
There's the development with what happened, the fallout from what happens to a fallen member of the crime syndicate.
Right.
Teases something else from Earth 3.
Earth 3? Oh, God, they're going to bring Earth 3 into this.
So, and I guess that's
So then we finally see the ending. I want to talk about the ending. What does that remind people of? Like the wave, the cascading energy wave of red. What as soon as I saw that, I'm like, oh, that's reminiscent of something. I can't remember what. It's like in a movie. There's definitely a movie reference.
I was gonna say I'm not the DC historian, so I
won't. No, it's not. Yeah, I was gonna say it's not even a DC thing. Did anyone kind of catch that?
No.
Bueller?
Gonna tell us?
My only thought was it kind of looked like when Galactus arrives on a planet. Like it's Galactus coming across the ocean or something. It's like, oh no, here's the big monster that destroyed our world. It's like, oh, Galactus? Does that kind of make sense? But I mean, I have to say, overall, like I liked the fact that a member of the crime syndicate could be beaten. You know, up to this point, they've always had everyone working together as a team. So you take the weakest link and you isolate him from everybody else, and he's the one that gets destroyed. So I thought that was. I'm not saying who it is.
Yeah, we've danced around that perfectly.
And I did like them working with Batman. That whole idea, you know, something that they've toyed with is that these guys don't want someone else coming and taking the world that's rightfully theirs to conquer, you know. So that idea that Batman's willing to team up with them, as evil as they are. Like, you take a guy like Black Adam, he's really, as evil as he is sometimes, he always has the greatest motivation, that he's trying to protect his people, you know. So even though, in a sense, he's a villain, in someone else's point of view, he's a hero because he's trying to save them. And it kind of plays with that idea of, like, what is a hero, what is a villain. You know, these guys are trying to stop other bad guys from taking over the world. They're not doing it for the greatest motivation, you know. Lex Luthor is not trying to save the Earth just because he wants to be a nice guy and save the Earth like the heroes. He's doing it because he doesn't want someone taking the world that he plans to conquer. And I just like the way that they're building up that whole storyline. I also noticed the fact in this one, Luther mentions that it's been 48 hours since the whole thing started, which I thought was interesting because I had just assumed, you know, this has been coming out for 5 months.
Yes.
But it's hard to tell, you know, in comic book time. So I figure, you know, well, it's, you know, maybe it's been a couple weeks or something like that. And Luther's like, 48 hours ago, these people appeared. And I was like, what? 48 hours?
I missed that reference.
But it kind of
explains. Now I'm going to go back and look for it.
It kind of explains, in a sense, why it hasn't affected a lot of other books yet, because it's happening in such a short period of time. It's kind of the same thing that happened with Secret Invasion, in a way. Secret Invasion, like, didn't touch a lot of books at all. You know, books like Daredevil. Didn't even cross over with Secret Invasion. And then you realize that Secret Invasion took place over the course of like 6 hours in one afternoon, you know. It's part of the reason why, you know, time is so hard to track a lot of times with all these different books. I've always wondered why what's going on in Forever Evil isn't impacting Nightwing, but it turns out that, you know, it's only been 2 days in this this series, so it's going to take a while before it actually until those, you know, smaller books actually catch up to the story.
I think, you know, all these tie-ins also make it feel longer than, I guess, what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and you don't really know. I mean, this is issue 5. It's been 48 hours, but that doesn't mean that the time period between issue 6 and 7 won't be 2 months. You know what I mean? Again, it's just because of time, you just have to see how it plays out. But, you know, so far, I like the story. When this comes out as a trade paperback, that's going to be a good thing to, you know, sit down and read through.
Okay.
All right.
Any other books need mentioning?
Just in general?
What is World War Mob number one?
Oh, yeah. I don't have a cover for that handy. Hold on a second. This came out from New Paradigm Studios, which is the same company that's doing the new Watson and Holmes.
Holmes, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And so basically, this is supposedly based upon a true story, so to speak. In World War II, a guy who has mob ties is fighting over in Europe. And one of the, mobster heavies comes to him and says, it's up to you to go and take out Mussolini. And, you know, he's like, what, is this a joke? Like, you know, this doesn't make any sense. Why would I go and take out Mussolini? But if you go and study the history, Mussolini actually was fighting against a lot of the mafiosos. He didn't like the mafia having so much power and control in Italy. And so he tried to dismantle a lot of the families. And so apparently there were some secret missions that were taken out where the mafia actually helped certain members of the military take on certain members of the Italian fascist regime. And so this story is basically telling, you know, this kid who starts out on the streets and he's kind of a bully and he, you know, likes to get into fights, and then he gets noticed. He becomes a entry-level hitman, and then he gets drafted into the war. And sure enough, when he's overseas, he gets called up to go on this mission to take out Mussolini. And there are, you know, the five factions of the Oso family in Italy, and each faction is picking one of their guys who's been drafted overseas to go on this mission. So these five guys who don't know each other all have to go AWOL and go on this mission to try to get to Mussolini and assassinate him. And it's basically one of those things where if they fail and they come back to the United States, they're going to be murdered by the family, you know, back home. So it's just kind of a fun, you know, alternate history kind of World War II, you know, Inglorious Bastards type thing, except it's played very straight. It's played very, you know, hard. It's not funny, you know, there's no jokes or anything like that. Like, this plays like a very true, very real war story. So if you have one of those, you know, weird war tales or all commando action or one of those old, you know, World War II type pulp comics, this would be the type of story you imagine being in there. And the artwork is beautiful. That's another thing. It's you know, penciled line work, and then they did watercolors to fill in. And so a lot of the stuff where they're going through Europe and they're doing some of the battle scenes and stuff like that look really beautiful with the artwork.
Cool.
All right.
Is it click of the...
I was going to say, I bought that online on Comixology, so I don't have a cover for it here because I didn't scan a cover for that.
Comixology. Is it a click of the week time?
Well, let me mention one book real quick. So I would be remiss if I did not mention the fact that the trade for Reality Check by former Comic Book Chronicles guest Glenn Brunswick, I believe, is out this week. So if you haven't checked out the single issues, go check that out in trade.
I believe it's an affordable trade, too. I think it's like $15.
Yeah, I forgot what the price was.
It's only four issues, so it should be.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely worth to the fans of the Compo Chronicles, it's definitely worth picking up.
And speaking of guests, I want to tease that in 2 weeks, we plan on having a special guest on the show. has Dirt's eyebrows raised because he missed our pre-discussion about this. Oh, and there won't be a show next week because I won't be in town next Thursday.
Unless we call an emergency.
Are you meeting Alyssa Milano or something?
We've got a group meeting planned out in L.A.
He's starting a new convention, y'all, so don't let him fool you.
There you go.
So we'll be taking the week off, vacation for the guys and myself. But when we come back, we'll be back with a special guest.
Yeah.
I'll reveal on Twitter. So, follow the Twitter account at TimDOGG98 and at the Click Nation. So, click of the week. This is where we each select one comic book as our pick of the week, aka click of the week.
What's going to be my click of the week?
Yeah, same question I'm asking myself.
This is not click of the week, but I will say Mighty Avengers was their getaway from the inhumanity finally and starting to go into new territory. So if you kind of want a place to start out with somebody, shout out to Saul Wright on Twitter, was asking me about, and the book's not too far in anyway, so you can kind of start out, but you can start off here just as well as any place.
Yeah, I read it. It was, I thought it was a good transition issue, away from the inhumanity stuff and away from the Superior Spider-Man stuff that was kind of, contaminating the book, in my opinion.
Yeah. Which is weird because I think some of that, the inhumanity stuff didn't get fully resolved, but I guess it didn't matter. Or it didn't seem like it. But I guess that'll come back at some other point.
Right.
Oh, and Superior Spider-Man looks to be off the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm glad that he's off because, it gives this team a little bit of room to breathe.
Yeah. He's glad you're off.
And She-Hulk and Falcon might be on.
Yeah, they were supposed to be members of the cast anyway, at least when the book was first announced. No Ronan this time, though.
Right.
Nah, he bounced.
And they still got to reveal who he is. You know, we already know who he is.
Yep.
Pretty much.
All right. So who wants to go first with their click of the week?
I think I'm going to make mine Miss Marvel number one.
Nice.
I enjoyed the little short story in the Marvel one-shot, all new Marvel Now .1 one-shot. And I enjoyed this issue as well.
Cool. Art, okay. You know what? Tim, I am going to co-sign that one because that was actually a pretty good read. I enjoyed it. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what else happens with that book. But I would like to kind of give a shout out to a book that would be the non-superhero book of the week that I haven't read yet. So
You'll like it though. That's my line.
Yeah, basically, Illegitimates number 3.
Nice.
So I still need to catch up with that one, but from what I've scanned through, it seemed like it might be all right.
Nice. I haven't had a non-superhero book of the week in a while. I need to start rediversifying my portfolio as a BB. You know what? Surprisingly, I almost want to co-sign onto Ms. Marvel as my click of the week this week. But surprise, surprise, of all things that I actually had a good time reading was this week's issue of Captain America, Captain America number 16, which focuses on Jet Black. And
that's her name?
Right. And, it was pretty much a solo, story, but it deals with Jet Black acclimating to this world, this dimension, and basically, we revisit with where's the bell? The Red Skull and his S-Men. So there's definitely some current continuity being integrated into this book, And it was just a fairly interesting read, and I found myself intrigued by the character and where Remender may be going with this. So that's why it's my click of the week. It got me interested in the character that I had kind of poo-pooed and, you know, just kind of dismissed off the, you know, off the bat. So I give Remender credit for making me, you know, at least be curious about the character.
All right. I am going to pick a book that we have not talked about yet, but I really enjoyed it this week, despite every intention I had. That was the new RoboCop book. This is based on the new movie coming out, and when they originally announced that they were rebooting RoboCop, I wanted to start fires and smash windows, and I couldn't understand these remakes and these reboots. How dare they? And it's,
nerd rage.
The more I thought about it, though, the more I thought about RoboCop 2 and RoboCop 3 and RoboCop the series and RoboCop the animated series and RoboCop the other animated series and RoboCop the direct-to-DVD movies.
Yep.
The more I thought, direct-to-DVD movies?
Oh, yeah, well, they were on Sci-Fi Canada or something.
Oh, God. Really?
But the more I thought about all of that, the more I thought maybe it is time to just kind of start over with RoboCop. And the more I saw of the clips from the movie, the more I saw of how they actually developed the suit, the more I saw of how they play with the characters, I had a harder and harder time hating it. And this book is our first glimpse into the universe of the new RoboCop. And this book is all about who Alex Murphy is inside the suit. He basically goes to attack some scumbag and take him in, and the guy's little daughter jumps in the way and says, "No, stop, don't hurt my daddy." And it makes RoboCop like freak out and reboot, and he has all these memories of his son and his wife and the family he left behind, and they take him back to headquarters and they plug him in, and they're trying to figure out why his programming failed and how his personality is trying to reemerge. And while all of this is going on, all the criminals out on the street realize that RoboCop is gone. Like RoboCop had a glitch and they took him back to the factory. So now everybody goes nuts and there's riots in the streets and, you know, people setting fires and everything. And as they're trying to fix RoboCop, he's actually watching the news and watching all of the terrible stuff happen. And they're trying to fix him so he can go back out and do his job. And the one thing he wants to do is go back out and do his job, because at his core, he's a police officer and he wants to stop this. And the more I read of this story and the more I was going through the book, I'm like, this is RoboCop. Like, this is the major themes that they tried to work into the second movie that kind of got thrown aside so they could do a bigger robot and have a bigger fight. The themes that kind of tried to weave themselves throughout the TV series, despite all the funky explosions and computer hacking stuff they wanted to throw in, you know, really at its core, RoboCop is the story of this guy trying to regain his humanity. And that's what this book was about. And I'm like, this is the story of RoboCop. I like the artwork in the book. I like the characters. I like the way, you know, everything came across. And so I wanted to hate everything about this. And I just found myself really enjoying it. And so now I'm looking forward. They're doing one of these specials every week for the next, there was one this week, and the next 3 weeks, they're doing three more. So I plan on picking them all up, and I'm really looking forward to the movie now, despite how much I hate remakes and reboots and everything. This actually looks really good, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool.
All right.
That's everyone's clicks of the week, right?
Yep.
Cool. So there was something else I was going to announce. Maybe it was just the unnamed guest.
Or you're starting a book that you didn't tell us about.
Right.
Not yet. All in due time. I guess that's it. Damn it. Make sure.
Nothing broke, so.
Yeah, right.
Nothing broke. That, you know, something else will be announced tomorrow after we record. So.
Of course. That's just the way, that's the news cycle.
Cool. So.
Paul Bettany thing is picking up, but whatever.
Yeah. So that's basically confirmed. Confirmed, but not confirmed. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in to tonight's episode of the Comic Book Chronicles. It's been another fun show. I want to thank everyone that tuned in live, Thomas Coonery and Bert Dekus and D. Adam Black. He used the Comic Book Chronicles hashtag, which you all can use. And, of course, remember, we record live every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Keep your eyes on the Comic Book Chronicles Google Plus page and the website dclicknation.com to see when new episodes go up. Make sure to follow the host on Twitter, at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need.
There you go.
What the hell is that?
What is that?
Those are his sound Dirt. Phones. Now, Dirt, you should know this. It's the Mattel Electronics Football 2.
No, I only play football one. I'm old school.
Ah.
I'm old school.
I think I got one of those in here somewhere, too.
Oh, no.
Follow Dirt at PCN underscore Dirt and go to his website, popculturenetwork.com.
And buy some stuff at the storefront.
Yes.
Shoppcn.com.
Yes. Buy everything. One of everything. Two of everything. Five of everything, please.
What's your other Twitter account for the Pop Culture Network?
At Pop Culture Net.
There you go. Follow Agent 70 at Agent underscore 70. And I am.
Oh, and by the way, you know what's funny? You know, I see the Shield logo, and we did neglect to mention this week's episode of Marvel's Agents of Shield. You know, with the cameo of Stan the Man, which was kind of cool, and it was a good episode. We can get back to it in 2 weeks since we're wrapping up the show. But I liked it this week. If anyone wants to talk about it, feel free to tweet me at agent underscore 70. And if you want, you can even hashtag at Comic Book Chronicles and make sure to see it and respond back.
And if you have questions for us, that same hashtag, Comic Book Chronicles, send us questions. We want them.
Oh, and also I should mention during the news that the DC animated movie Justice League War came out Tuesday.
Did you guys watch it?
Yeah, didn't it? The other one, Target exclusive one came out also?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. But I bought it Tuesday, but we'll watch it tomorrow when I finally have time.
I just realized. War. Yeah.
Well, we're wrapping it. I'm remembering everything. I love it.
Yeah. Well, no, I was about to say, I know why Tim's not going to be here next week. The Olympics is starting, so he's got to get over to Sochi.
You mean with the twin toilets?
Yeah.
Where you can't flush the toilet paper.
What's that?
Where you can't flush the toilet paper, the doorknobs fall off, the curtains are falling down. You book 11 rooms, you get one.
And the ski dump is too far.
And there's manhole covers uncovered.
Yes. On the
and the water
only in Mother Russia.
And the water you can't use on your face.
Oh, yes.
Oh, did you see the pictures of the water?
Oh, yes, I did.
It's like in Goonies where they ask for water and they hand them that brown stuff. It's wet. Drink it. That's exactly what's coming out in Sochi.
Oh, my God. That is so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah. That's but anyway.
Yes, 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 yes.
So, yes, we'll be back in 2 weeks with the
new episode,
Comic Book Chronicles. Yes, I know you all miss us.
Yes, we'll miss you guys too.
Read lots of comics in the meantime. We will be back. Don't worry.
We'll be there.
If you missed us,
we're out on Twitter. So
go watch previous episodes on youtube.com/theclicknation. So with that, I want to say good night. Thank you for tuning in. This is Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace. Woo!